I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. I'm looking at this story, and I think I have to go back and watch some Seinfeld episodes because I don't remember this at all. But okay. People are saying that, well, if you watch The Joker, you think of Martin Scorsese's films Taxi Driver and King of Comedy, which no doubt about it, it has those vibes.
I can see that.
Yeah, it really, really does. And did you ever see the full Joker yet? Have you watched it?
No. But I only know it just because I know Taxi Driver. And I've heard plenty of stories about what the Joker's about. I'm not yet ready to watch that one.
Well, there's a couple of scenes that people are saying, you know what? Maybe it isn't just Taxi Driver and King of Comedy that the Joker's borrowing from. They are pointing out to some Seinfeld episodes. There was a character by the name of Crazy Joe Davola. He appeared on multiple episodes of Seinfeld during its fourth season, and I don't remember this guy.
I barely remember, so I had to look it up, and I do remember now the guy. He looked like a mime.
Yeah.
Kind of clown look to him, but I only remember because he was mad at Jerry because his career never took off, and and Jerry's did.
I totally don't remember this. I got to start watching some Seinfeld again. I thought I watched so much Seinfeld that I remembered everything, but this is...
I didn't like him on that show. I remember thinking it was like, this is just dark and weird.
Yeah, maybe that's why I blocked it out.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe is mentally disturbed, failed comedy writer, like you said, blaming Jerry for his failures, even like stalks Elaine.
That was the thing. I was just like,
yeah, what the hell's going on?
You're watching this dumb comedy about nothing, and it got like weird for a few episodes.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to hear Larry David and Jerry talk about why.
Apparently, Larry David said that according to stories, that he based this Joe Davola character on the guy that ended up being Smallville's producer, Joe Davola, which is very subtle.
Wow. Really? So that literally was just, of course, we know they do that in a lot of these shows, you know, like Entourage and Ari's character is based off of somebody who's a real guy in the world of Hollywood.
And the original premise was loosely based off of Mark Wahlberg because he's the executive producer. And obviously it took a different turn over time. But what if that's the case? Like there's a guy named Joe Davola and he had this beef with Larry David.
Wow.
And so he just clowns on him. I mean, no pun intended.
Literally.
Yeah. And called him Joe Davola.
And turned him into a crazy stalker guy. How about this? There's a scene in Seinfeld where there's a doctor worrying about Joe, that he's not taking his medication, which will make him more violent. That happens to Joaquin Phoenix in Joker. And then in another scene, Joe dresses like a clown and is confronted by three men in Central Park. He beats them up. And that sounds very similar to the subway scene that we see in Joker, which is a very pivotal scene in that movie. And then when we last see Crazy Joe in the Seinfeld episode, he's jumping out of the stands to attack Jerry at the taping of his TV pilot. And of course, there are similar activities that happen in the Joker movie.
Yeah, because there's a scene, I remember, like, that you go into his place and, like, he's got pictures of Elaine all over his house, his apartment.
That's just, okay.
Crazy Joe Davola.
Crazy Joe Davola. Okay. That is, I'm going to have to watch that episode.
It's a couple of episodes. It's not just one. Like, there's a few different episodes of Joe Davola.
Are they all on YouTube now, all these episodes?
These are just highlight
clips
I'm pulling up just to kind of get it. It's trying to jog my memory because, like you, I mean, I've seen so many episodes of Seinfeld. I'm pretty sure I've seen every episode. But it took a second for it to kind of but I was like, oh, yeah, he had pictures of Elaine in his apartment.
Doesn't even look familiar to me. That's amazing. I can't believe I haven't watched I have to watch these episodes again.
And Seinfeld right now is on Hulu. So if you wanted to watch them all, you can.
Oh, thanks, Vicky. I might have somebody's password for that.
What if that
is that him right there?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a weird looking guy even in Seinfeld. And there's Elaine in his apartment with all his pictures on the wall. Oh man, that's dark.
Yeah, what a weird thing. Looking back on it, that they incorporated, like she's trying to leave and he like shuts the door on her and kind of corners her.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's not good.
I think a lot of Seinfeld fans, we probably all purposely forgot these episodes.
This was, yeah, we blocked this out. I do not remember this at all. I'm looking at that and I do know, I'm seeing that video you got. I don't recognize the episodes with Crazy Joe Davola, who is very Joker-like, and is that where they got some inspiration for where the Joker movie went?
And I bet not, but it is kind of funny.
Oh.
And it just continues to reinforce the thing that everything goes back to Seinfeld. I know that, like, you know, millennials and Gen Zs probably have no idea what that even means, but for anyone to say Gen Xer or boomers like yourself, like, every story will go back to a Seinfeld relate. Like, I was in the elevator with our buddy Jason in production, and we were talking about something. He goes, oh, it's like that Seinfeld episode. And he even said, he's like, yeah, I know people that are younger than us don't care about that, but I don't care, man. Life always revolves around Seinfeld.
It surely does if you're a boomer and a Gen Xer. And for Vicky and Danny, probably Friends, which was, you know, that would be their thing.
It's Titanic for Danny.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Really, yeah, is, yeah.
And you know what, Vicky? Someday people are going to look at you and go, Friends? What the hell's that?
I think we're already there, because at that point, I feel like a lot of people, and well, I never watched Friends, though, to be fair, but like mine was like How I Met Your Mother or
Parks and Rec seems to be a one that like, a lot of people Rec, will quote.
And that's that definitely, I would say, is late millennial. Mm-hmm. That is definitely late millennial. Even we could talk Gen Z will know those shows, I would imagine, because, I mean, they're relatively current, both of those shows, even though they're both gone. But, you know, within the last 5 years, you know, people know Parks and Rec and How I Met Your Mother. You're right. And Friends was before that and Seinfeld before that. For me, you know, what did we have for comedies? I mean, we had all those great sitcoms because that's when there were only three networks. So everybody knew the Sanford and Sons and the Chico and the Mans and All in the Families and all of that. And yet you guys are like, huh? But there's a reason why they're doing live All in the Family shows and live Jefferson shows, because there's a bunch of old folks like myself.
I want to see it again.
That, you know, that was big in our world. Everything was, those were the shows. And it's funny, I'm watching The Neighborhood, because you've turned me onto that
show.
How
are you liking that show?
Oh, it's a fun show.
I think it's one of the funniest sitcoms.
It's a very,
very old school style sitcom, but current, obviously, but to me, that's one of my favorite shows to watch.
And it's
funny as all hell.
There's a good message in there in its own way, mm-hmm. because it's a reverse All in the Family.
Yeah.
You know,
it's about race relations.
And yeah. It's instead of basically the black family moving into the white neighborhood, it's the white family moving into the black neighborhood. And the one dude who is the Archie Bunker, and that's Cedric's character, he's pretty much like, you can't let this guy in the neighborhood. He's going to ruin everything.
And everyone loves him.
Yeah.
This is the best part.
Yeah.
The last episode was great when they go to church.
Oh, I see. Now I'm hoping my wife and I do a binge like we did with Big Bang Theory, uh-huh. because we both like the show and we go, all right, we got to get a couple of these episodes under our belt. We've only watched the pilot. Dude, and so we're two years behind.
Apparently, this comparison of Joe Davola, the Seinfeld episode, and the Joker has been going on. Not just like we just saw the story today that somebody made the connection, but a couple of months ago, somebody took footage from the episodes with Joe Davola and turned it into a Joker trailer for like a parody of the movie Joker.
Oh, and as I'm looking at it, dude, you haven't seen the movie, but it is eerie how much it looks like the Joker. I think that they actually did really crib from this. I'm not kidding. It's how, come on, how could they be so similar?
You really think that someone's like, hey, what do you want to do with this Joker movie? It's like, well, I saw a couple of episodes of Seinfeld. Hear me out on this one.
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, they borrowed it's obviously borrowed from Kings of Comedy as the King of Comedy and also Taxi Driver. Mm-hmm. What, this Seinfeld episode? Maybe they thought this was brilliant. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, whoever made this movie, I'm sure was a Seinfeld fan or at least watched the episodes when they were growing up.
That would be pure genius if somebody who wrote this just basically ripped off Seinfeld.
That's
and
great.
This was his own little inside joke. Like, he changed it enough. Obviously, it's not anything like the sitcom. But for him, it was like this. He's like laughing at everyone that's going nuts about his movie because he's like, I just ripped off Seinfeld. This is awesome. No one's picked up on it. Now someone's picked up on it. He's like, son of a bitch.
My wife and I watched Seinfeld religiously. We did. It was like our thing to do. You know, Family Ties, Seinfeld, all those shows we'd watch. We were recently married. We didn't have a lot of money. So what do? We stayed home and watched television.
Mm-hmm.
Cosby Show. I don't remember that. I'm looking at those videos you got popped on the screen. They look foreign to me. It's like I've never seen those episodes, my brain's telling me.
So you don't remember the scene where he's in Central Park or in a park and he's surrounded by those guys and he just like all of a sudden just whips out like these karate moves on the guys?
No, I don't remember any of this.
Oh, I do.
Wow, I can't believe I don't
barely,
remember any of that.
But I do.
Wow. Don't remember this at all. Well, that's just trippy. Hey, is there anyone in your circle of friends that you secretly hate? You can't stand them.
Ooh. Mm. Hate's a strong word.
I know, dude. And this is
there's plenty of people I don't necessarily enjoy their company, but other people do, so I'll let them hang around.
Who's it? Are you going to ask when to dime it out on the way out?
No, I'm just kidding.
63% of people in a new survey said they can't go to any parties or get-togethers without running into at least one person they'd rather avoid.
There are people in my life that I'm just like, oh, this guy. But yeah, I don't hate the person.
Yeah, right.
I don't care that they're there. I get stuck in like a situation where I'm having a conversation with them, it's like in one ear and out the other. I'm not going to let them like occupy that kind of time in my own world. But, you know, I'm not going to be a rude person to them. And for all I know, they don't like me either. And so it's just like this really weird thing of us two people that don't like each other talking to each other.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it, but in the latest episode of Curb in the new season, Larry has a whole strategy for that. And I can't remember what he calls it, but you go up to them just as you're leaving, go, oh, I can't believe we didn't get time to talk. And the guy's like, are you pulling that move on me? Everybody knows that move, Larry.
Like you're making the exit. And
You never wanted to talk to me. You don't want to talk to me. And, I have to tell you, the spoiler alert of the episode is that the guy says, well, now let's go to dinner, Larry. Let's go to lunch if you really want to talk to me. And Larry's like, oh, man. He basically couldn't pull the move because he got dimed out. So he ended up having to go to lunch with the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But then Larry came up with a strategy. And Larry goes, look, I don't care either way about about the president. He says, but it seems like if you wear a Make America Great hat, there are certain people that you know that don't want to talk to you. He goes, that guy I know is a liberal. I know he's going to hate this hat, which means I'll just sit down at lunch and he won't want to talk to him and he'll leave. And so Larry starts wearing the hat because he avoids all the people he knows that will hate the hat. And I'm like, it is pretty brilliant. Like, I had thought, I was like, if you could find something that you know people are bugged by and that they won't want to be with you, it keeps you from having to say you don't want to be with them. It's a brilliant, I mean, it's totally Larry David. It's a brilliant idea.
So you have a problem with like someone named John, you wear a shirt that just says, I hate John.
Exactly. Like if you know somebody hates wrestling, you just wear wrestling shirts.
I just do that anyway.
Yeah, so you get
it's gonna be a tough one for me to change that up.
I know. See, that's maybe.
So something. Would you not go to a party if you knew that somebody was going to be there?
Here's my problem. I think I'm the guy that people wouldn't go to parties. See, that's I have nobody that I have. I'll go to parties with anybody, but I think I'm the guy.
Yep. Why are we going to this party? Well, I heard BJ's going to be there.
Yeah.
I just don't want to put up with that.
I have to face that is probably the truth.
Maybe a few years ago, you still think that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
when I think about like some people that don't know me now, uh-huh. They know me from maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago. They just know what they know, and I just I bring up a sour memory, and I surely can't begrudge them for that because I was a sour person. Makes sense. But I think now, I don't know. What do you think, guys? I mean, well, Rev's really. I mean, you and Rev have never really invited me over.
Yeah.
Vicky's had me over.
We don't need to talk about that.
Vicky tolerates me.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Danny's never had me over.
We don't have anyone over our house.
Yeah, that's the excuse everybody uses with me.
No, that's legit life for me.
I feel like, though, when I hear that from multiple people, I'm like, So all these people don't have anybody over to their home. That's what I'm expected to believe.
Name the last time I threw a party.
Well, I don't know because I'm never invited. How would I know that?
And this is really
awkward. Don't say anything.
And this is really awkward because I hold almost monthly parties.
He has monthly parties with his Traeger. He has his Traeger fun.
I've got a group for my party
never
group.
Invited.
I'm not a part of
it. And by the way, he's got board games. He likes to play board games. Never invited.
But see, I know what happens with me is I get invited to parties.
Yeah.
I never go, so I stop being invited to parties, and I just accept that. Like, I have a few people in my life. I'm like, oh, you had a party? And they're like, yeah, I would have told you, but you never come anyway.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I'm like, yeah, it's a good point. I don't know why I'm going to be upset that
but
I didn't get
invited.
But
it's nice to be invited.
Yeah, but there's a type of person that wants to be invited to everything,
Sarah.
Even though they'll never go.
Sarah.
BJ.
Just kidding, Sarah comes.
I'm the one that wants to be invited to everything, but never
yes,
go?
Yes, you complain when people don't invite you to whatever. Like, to somebody wanted Steve to be his best man, and then you got mad that you weren't asked, even though you didn't want to. And you're like, oh, I'm not going to do it, but I wanted to be invited.
Yeah, I guess that sounds
that
like
is
me.
You.
Yeah.
See, and I don't invite you over because usually when I have parties, it's just your kids getting trashed in my house. And I know you said you don't want to see that.
Yeah, so yeah, I appreciate
I'm sick
that.
Of you inviting Tatum yeah. and getting her drunk.
Yeah,
she's 5 weeks old. Dude.
5 weeks old, Danny. Yeah. It is true. I will say that. The Vicky, here's the thing. Vicky's kind of like an old lady, so you can go to her house and know that she will make you feel comfortable as an old person. Vicky knows how to treat the old people. Whereas
it's like
Danny.
Granddaddy daycare.
Yeah.
Exactly. I put Metamucil in his Diet Coke. It's great.
She's great. Vicky's
got Werther's and a bowl for you.
Vicky is the youngest 50-year-old I've ever met in my life. I mean, she's a 50-year-old in a what? How old are you? 29?
30.
You're 30 now?
Yes.
Oh,
for the last
remember,
few months.
Yeah, remember her 30th birthday party you were invited to?
Yeah.
Did I go to that?
No.
Okay, yeah. It was a great time.
Because it falls on the same weekend-ish as your birthday.
That's the problem, yeah. And Vicky still invites me places because she likes old people. She likes to take care of me and just put a straw in my mouth and clean up the drool. I'm like a big baby. She loves
her favorite
it.
Movie's Weekend at Bernie's, so she likes to pretend that she's in it all the time.
Wow, that's harsh. Okay, fine. Let's talk about a real comic. Okay, Steve, Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
Who just shared a great story about a time that a comic that he looked up to gave him the worst advice ever. You're going to hear from Eddie at 8:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. I think Steve Meeks can tell you, you never want to meet your heroes.
Uh-oh.
Especially that wonderful encounter you had with Billy Joel.
Well, sometimes they become your hero because of the things that they say to you.
Yeah, you are the weird guy. Everybody, I think I would have been pissed off if Billy Joel told me to F off kid when I met him, but you actually love him for it.
As a kid, I was devastated. As an adult, I think it's way cooler than getting an autograph. I would have lost the autograph, probably would have lost the picture. I will never forget the time that Billy Joel told me to F off.
I can see that. Eddie Murphy, of course we all know Eddie, just shared a great story about a time that he asked Rodney Dangerfield to watch his comedy set and give him feedback.
Years ago, I was played the comic strip in Fort Lauderdale, and I was maybe 17, and Rodney Dangerfield comes in. So I was like, Mr. Dangerfield, after the show, will you watch my set?
And he was like, yeah, yeah, sure, kid.
Now, this is 1980, so it's like this kid on stage doing edgy racial stuff. And so afterwards, Dangerfield sees me, and he's like,
hey, kid, I don't know where you're going to go with that, you know, with the language and the race stuff.
I was crestfallen. Cut to 2-3 years later. And I was in Vegas in the bathroom. Rodney Dangerfield comes to the urinal right next to me. And I look over and he looks at me and says,
hey, who knew?
She's willing to own up to it.
Well, I can understand why. Rodney, you know, he started late in his career. You know, I don't even know if Vicky and Danny really know Rodney. From Caddyshack, the movie, they go, hey, who stepped on a duck?
Yeah. Back to school.
Back to school. Okay, Ladybugs, perfect. Rover Lady Dangerfield.
Bugs. Okay.
That was my favorite, both of those when I was a kid.
Danny is looking like he has no clue.
I get no respect.
Yeah.
He was in some random movie that I remembered, but I never knew who he was. Like, I didn't know him from all the old stuff.
He was a guy that started doing comedy at, like, either 45 or 50 years old. He started late in his life, but he was basically doing the kind of comedy that you would see on the old Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, those old school folks. And Eddie obviously was, like, the new wave, the new genre of what comedy to be. So I could see how Rodney would be like, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, this isn't what I know comedy to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you'll have that when you have sort of generational shifts. So I love that at least, you know, Rodney was like, hey, who knew? Though, if you were familiar with Richard Pryor, I think you could maybe take a look at Eddie and go, all right, there's a place that you might be going with this, because Richard Pryor surely wasn't your normal comic right for the time. But Rodney was, gosh, he was fantastic. There was just something about him. He just looked weird. He was always sweating. He just had so many great jokes about what a loser he was.
Yeah, I mean, but then you think about it, like, he was cool enough to watch the performance.
Yeah.
He was willing to give his honest feedback. And then he was also willing to own up to the fact that he was wrong.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, he didn't say you were crap, kid. I mean, he made an honest...
give it up.
Yeah, he was like, geez, I don't know, kid. I don't know where you're going to go with all the language. And, it, you know, it's funny. I read an article in Playboy about the old actor John Wayne. And the reason being is, I guess, there were some things he said in that Playboy interview that are really not very cool today. And they want to rename the airport because of it down in California. Mm-hmm. They're so pissed about the fact that he didn't seem like he was a great guy. And so when it came to certain ethnicities and genders and stuff, but the way he spoke in this interview, he's like, I don't know about these movies today with the vulgarities and showing all this graphic violence. Mm-hmm. That will go nowhere, and it's not the way movies should be made, and it's horrible for our industry. And this was in the 70s. It's interesting how older people always say what's happening now is horrible and will not be good for entertainment. And I even feel myself sort of feeling that way about new stuff.
They were probably when they were younger, and they probably had older actors saying what they were doing wasn't any good.
Yeah.
Because I see that in wrestling, obviously, it's also any kind of art form, any kind of form of entertainment. I think you're going to have like the bitter old, petty mentality. So like a lot of the high flyers nowadays, like you got wrestlers that do crazy stuff. Sometimes it's almost like a borderline gymnastic type abilities. And the old school guys are like, what is this? This isn't real. This is, you know, which is funny. But then people have found like old articles and interviews with wrestlers that were dissing the old school wrestlers for their style. Like I remember Harley Race, which was an old school wrestler guy. There were like articles written where they interviewed older wrestlers complaining like he hits people with headbutts. Who the hell does that?
Yeah.
It's like there's always going to be that old quote unquote vet in whatever industry that's just going to take a dooski on whatever anyone else is doing nowadays.
Yeah, man. And that's why I think
take jealousy, bitterness.
Well, because you don't get it. You know, that's why I thought Jay Leno, of all things they said about him, when they asked him, they compared him to Jimmy Fallon. And they were like, so, you know, I mean, hey, you know, Jimmy does this. What do you think? I mean, could you ever come back? He goes, I can't do what Jimmy does.
Mm-hmm.
And you could also hear him in his own way go, and I don't want to do what Jimmy does because it's a lot of work. I mean, it really is. I mean, what they used to have to do is come out, do a monologue, sit at a table, interview guests.
Maybe have a weird animal crawl on them.
Jimmy has to do so much prep work. I mean, when you think of all of the rehearsing and stuff that has to be done for all the bits that he does with some of the celebrities, especially like the JT stuff that, you know, whenever Justin Timberlake is on, these guys do full-out music videos, it seems. That's a lot of work. And you could see Jay go, I don't even know why this is entertainment. Like, that's not what we used to do.
Right. There's probably some people out there that are like old school TV people are just like, the hell, they're killing our industry. What's he doing over here? Like, you don't, back in my day, we didn't need to do that. It's like, well, if you try to do what you used to do, you wouldn't get
the viewers that you need in order to have a job now.
And they said that about Taste Kimmel. Change. And they said the same thing about Kimmel, because it's like, what is he doing? And it's like, well, he's really doing radio bits on a show, and he's having success doing it because he has that career in radio before he was, you know, doing the late night show.
Someone says he was the dad in Natural Born Killers. Was Rodney Dangerfield the dad? Man, I don't remember.
Yes,
he was.
Yes,
I forgot all about that.
He was Mallory's dad, and some of the creepiest scenes were the sitcom-y type scenes.
Oh my gosh, yes.
He is the biggest piece of trash father, but they set it to a laugh track. So he says these horrible, horrible things, and then it's just with a laugh track, and it's so unnerving, and it's so weird.
I gotta watch that movie again. I totally didn't. I forget that scene.
It's amazing, dude.
It's pretty brilliant. I mean, it is.
And it's Oliver Stone, you know, making fun of media. The whole thing is making fun of the media and how they turn stuff.
I gotta watch that again. That was Woody Harrelson in his younger days, and
Juliette Lewis,
who's a terrific movie.
And I don't remember anything of it, clearly. So I need to watch it again.
I'm with you, Steve. That'll be a nice little thing to do. Nice
I do
to revisit
so often,
that.
Man. I don't know how people remember things so well. Like, I don't know what's going on in my world, but
I remember I loved that movie, but I couldn't tell you a whole lot about it.
Right. Like, even earlier, like, I was clowning with you guys about Dancing with Wolves, and you're like, well, and I've seen the movie.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything in the movie.
I just remembered it was impactful, and it made me, like, get the feels when it came to how Native Americans were treated in this country. And yet, you know, you got to see some of the beloved ways and spirituality of Native American tradition. And that was my first time really being exposed to that, because I was just this white kid who, you know, what do I know and what do I care? You know, because I only read what I read in the history books. I had no clue about Native Americans. And
Kevin Costner for all this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sort of getting that with the show Kung Fu, is I'm really learning a lot about the Asian traditions and, you know, how Chinese folks were treated in this country in the Old West days and how they were mitigated. And yet, man, there's some cool stuff that, I mean, for a TV show to actually get right like that is pretty amazing in the 70s.
Show.
Kung Fu with David Carradine?
Oh, I thought it was a new show.
No.
I never know with you and your, like, Black Mirrors and...
Black Mirror. Yeah, you don't sound like an old guy now. You Black Mirrors and your Twilight Zone things. What are you watching?
I don't know if it was like some new show that I just don't know about.
Yeah, this new show, Kung Fu. Yeah, it's really new.
Oh, like no one's ever rebooted anything.
Oh, well, they did, actually.
The legend continues.
I don't know how good that is. I'm going to try watching it after my wife and I get done with the original series. I feel like we're not going to like it, but
yeah,
I'm
good luck with that.
Man, you're too busy right now. We're getting excited for Picard.
Very excited for Picard. Today's the day. CBS, if you get the CBS app, that's the only way to watch Picard. Again, know that it's going to be pretty much a super young cast, all new people, and Picard. There may be, I'm hoping, 7 of 9. Jerry Ryan actually gets to have a big part in this. But the rest of them are all old, and they may make cameos. And spoiler alert, you know Data's dead. He died in Star Trek Nemesis, the movie. So who knows how he's going to show up on the show, maybe just in flashbacks or whatever. But I am excited, but I know it's going to be a completely different show. I will say Patrick Stewart really does look old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, granted, it's been, what, 30 years?
Well, yeah. I mean, at some point, he's got to, like, stop looking old. He already looked old back then.
He did. You're a bald guy.
Yeah.
White hair. That was the joke. It's like, wow, you'd think in the 23rd century they'd be able to fix baldness, but I guess they didn't. That was always the joke when you had the bald Starship
Captain.
They
didn't know about keeps and all those other
none of that,
medicines that people take now.
I'm excited. Just because I love Star Trek Discovery, I know they put probably a lot of money into the budgeting of these shows, which means I'm going to see something really cool.
It'd be fun if they, like, kind of piggyback on the Baby Yoda phenomenon. They have, like, a Baby Spock.
Baby Spock.
Yeah.
Yeah. They could do
Baby Spock. Baby Spock.
Let's do it.
Come on. We just did it.
Yeah. We just made it. Baby Spock.
Live long and prosper, kid.
Yeah.
Prosper.
I'm going to stay away from the internet because I know everybody hates everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, yes.
Which is why I'm so surprised everybody loved The Mandalorian, which is the Star Wars thing. I'm surprised everybody loved it because it seems like anything you do in Star Wars, everybody hates it. So somehow Jon Favreau figured it out and kept everybody happy.
Hmm.
So I'm hoping Picard's good enough that people won't bother me about it. I have friends that just like to complain.
You?
Well, you know, Steve, do you have friends that like what you like? But like you talked about, like
the old school,
they don't like any new school, and you just have to hear them complain like, I remember when wrestling was good. I mean, I got friends like that when it comes to Star Trek and Star Wars, and it's like, I don't want to talk to you about this because you hate everything new.
Well, it's not even about new, it's just that there's so many different types of wrestling. So like, I have friends that will just complain about they only like this style, and the only other style is pure crap. And it's like there's so many different styles. It's ridiculous that you're going to get mad because one person likes one style over the other. I mute a lot of my friends are on mute that are like,
see,
that
you're better than that.
I just don't want to be exposed to it after a while.
Do they still have Gangnam style? Is that still part
of
wrestling?
That's very popular. Yeah.
I don't know why it just came to my head when you talked about all this stuff.
Of all things, Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style came to my head. I know. How crazy is that?
Well, that's only almost a decade old.
It's true. I know. Right. I mean, size the man. That's all you got to say.
I couldn't even think of his name. You did a side joke.
I did a side joke. Yeah.
Gangnam Style.
Can we fix that in post? And
no! Gangnam Style will live forever.
Go back into the past and insert that into another show from 2010.
Thanks, it'll buddy. Live forever.
Yeah.
I think it died 5 years ago.
Okay, you know what? That's a song you're always going to remember. I mean, Grant's the only thing he's ever done that we care about, but...
So I want to know, will you trash Picard if it's bad?
I don't think I will trash it because I think it's going to be good. I think that they put really a lot of work into writing, and Patrick Stewart is a fine actor. I don't know how... The only way it could be bad is if they just get really sloppy. And I just don't think they will. I just, you know, people can really not like the way they do things, but it's, you know, it's still not bad writing, and it's well done. And I think that, yeah, you can talk about plot holes, but I mean, Star Trek Discovery has had really good writing. You may not like where they've gone with it, but it's still good writing. And of course, the acting is good, and the sets are good. The wardrobes are good. The special effects are good. I feel like they're going to do the same thing with Picard. I know it's not going to be the same as Next Gen. That's why I tell everybody it's not going to be what it was back in the 80s, and you have to know that. The pacing and the young actors, they're going to try to get young people to like this show with an old guy in the show. It's going to be like, hey, I like that show with that old guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, you know, because let's be honest, Steve. When you think about it, how often do you see TV shows where old people are the stars? And we have to realize that everybody from that original show from 30 years ago, they're all at least in their late 50s, early 60s, and Picard's in his, Stewart's
in his... 79.
79. Nobody wants to see shows with old people. That it, I mean,
it's about Rev watches Wheel of Fortune all the time.
That's it.
It's for old people. It doesn't have old people in it.
How old's Pat Sajak?
Probably in his 60s.
Old.
73.
Damn!
That's it. Him and Alex Trebek. What else do you ever watch that has old people in the show that they're the stars?
See, though, I think Patrick's...
Golden Girls.
okay where you... Talk about me going back with Cy. How
I thought
you
that too,
back?
Though.
Jesus.
Patrick Stewart, though, I feel like with everything he does, like he does a lot of activism and stuff like that, but he's relevant. He's still out there, you know, doing stuff. So I feel like even young people are going to be like, I know that guy. He's not just the old guy. That's Patrick Stewart.
Good call. I think that's why they could make the series.
He's really, really cool.
Yeah. For that reason, Vicky, I think that's why it won't be a turnoff to people. But he's got a completely young cast around him in this show. That's the thing, is you won't recognize anybody because they're all, you know, I don't know how many people are going to be over the age of 30 in that show besides him. Not many. So there you go. It's today. CBS app. Go check it out. It drops today.
All right. Great. I'll subscribe now.
You liar.
Look at you. Boy.
I am subscribing.
It's like subscribing to the dentist. That was the voice I just heard. I'm going to go to the dentist now and subscribe to CBS. Fine. Yesterday, Steve, he did get this one wrong.
Spinach is high in which mineral?
That's me, spinach.
I'm going to go with gold.
No.
Gold.
Protein.
No.
No.
Sausage.
No.
Just imagine.
Great mineral, sausage.
Yeah. Or imagine that you were eating spinach that had gold in it. Like, you know, people were mining for gold, having no idea that, oh, wait, there's gold in spinach? I'll just go here.
Little known fact.
Gold.
You guys are overthinking my answers.
Oh, really? Yeah, you're probably right. The correct answer is iron. Good old iron. You want a shot at beating Steve? You got it. 206-42 on Rock. We're playing Beat Migs at 847 on the Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy.
Here's a question from a listener. My house is currently in foreclosure. I've stopped making payments. What can I do to save my house?
If you're already in foreclosure behind on your mortgage, you can stop the foreclosure by filing a bankruptcy. There's different types of bankruptcy. Chapter 13 can help you catch up on your house payments if you're behind. It would mean that you'd have to start making your house payments again and catch up on the amount that you're behind over 5 years. You could also take off or strip off your second mortgage, which would help you to reduce your housing payment every month, especially once you're done with the plan and done catching up on your first mortgage. We could also try to buy you some time by filing a Chapter 13 case. Filing a Chapter 13 would definitely stop your foreclosure.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. And thanks for listening.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.